listening to Shoalhaven CBF, thanks to Integrity Real Estate, the Heads Hotel at Shoalhaven Heads, Nara Mazda, and Shoalhaven City Turf Club. Follow the boys on Instagram and on Facebook at Shoalhaven CBF.
Yeah, coming up to 24 to 11. Now, Barry, you know, hot topic, and we always talk to Mick Holton from the VFA. We've got him on the line this morning. Mick, are you there?
I certainly am.
How are you? G'day, Mick.
You've been listening this morning, haven't you?
I have. I tell you what, I must say the Facebook production that you do is top shelf. Real good.
Oh, good on you,
mate. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Jason.
Think Tank Business Services. Well done, mate.
Now, Mick, reference to an article by Emma Partridge that appeared in the Daily Telegraph on the 5th of October. It was titled, "Fiery's Charge Extinguished." The article stated that police never saw it, no one was hurt, but it still took 2 years and something like $74,000 for a rural fire service volunteer to overturn a conviction for driving dangerously during a hazard reduction burn. What happened, Mick?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And before I answer, I'd like to say that this situation was so unbelievable that others who were not privy to the full transcript were judging Oliver as being guilty, saying things like, he must be guilty. How else could it have been done, you know, gone on for so long? We're hearing those sorts of comments. But this is clearly a case of bullying harassment at a local level that got out of control. It did become a very ugly and costly thing. It was fueled by cover-ups, deceit, and atrocious behaviour by representatives of the Rural Fire Service, right to the top. Now, and I'm most disturbed about the fact that Oliver, and I haven't used his surname, but his surname does appear in many documentation, but I will avoid using it because the poor fellow's had to endure enough unpleasantness and unwanted exposure. But Oliver was abandoned by the Rural Fire Service. He didn't even get a phone call to check on his welfare throughout this terrible ordeal. And he now faces expenses, legal expenses of well over $100,000, not the $74,000 as reported. And the Commissioner, the New South Wales Rural Fire Service Commissioner, he stood by and allowed this situation to develop when it should have been sorted out early. There was an inspector for the Rural Fire Service, Mr. Shepherd, who admitted to the Cottage Point community, you're probably putting two and two together and working out that Oliver is part of that brigade. And he admitted to the community point, the Cottage Point community, that he could have handled that situation a lot better. I thought it'd be good to give you a snapshot of the events on that day.
Talk us through it briefly. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Well, there was a hazard reduction. It was way back in 2016. It was Thursday the 20th. Oliver's a deputy captain. He was en route to his station to help out, as many volunteers do. There was one road in and out. He was required to drive on that road in his private vehicle, and he had to clearly identify himself to the traffic controllers that closed the road to the public, and they let him through. He arrived at the fire station, where he was formally asked by the officer in charge of the hazard reduction, that was Mr. Shepherd, to stand down and wait for police. He asked why. The Rural Fire Service inspector said a complaint had been made against Oliver, and police are to investigate. And that's all that was said to him. Eventually, a highway patrol officer arrived and interviewed Oliver in private. There was no one else there to support him. No charges or arrests were made. The police officer spoke with other RFS staff at the station, and they left. After that police officer left, Inspector Shepherd held a meeting with Oliver and along with his captain in attendance. They notified Oliver that a complaint against him had been made by another RFS member, alleging that Oliver drove past the RFS member travelling somewhere between 70 to 80 kilometres per hour. Now, many on that fire ground would dispute that would be even possible, and that came out in this court case. Now, this was the first time that Oliver had been told what he'd allegedly been done, and remembering the police had already left by this stage. Almost 4 months of silence from both the police and the RFS, and then eventually Oliver was charged by police with dangerous driving to appear in Manly local court in May 2017. Then came a lengthy four-day court hearing. He was found guilty at that hearing. He appealed, and on the 3rd of October 2018, thankfully, District Court Judge Paul Conlon quashed all charges against Oliver. He was completely exonerated. He did apply twice to the Rural Fire Service for ex gratia assistance from them, which is a type of assistance package to help people who might find themselves in strife. One of those was rejected. The second request didn't get a reply, hasn't got a reply. After that first request, the RFS suspended Oliver's RFS membership. He'd only been charged at that stage, hadn't actually gone to court. The RFS stated the reason for the suspension, that he was found guilty of a criminal charge. Of course, that was reviewed using their own service, their standard operation procedures, and Oliver's solicitor successfully appealed that suspension, and he was reappointed as a volunteer. Now, at
he's back in as a volunteer.
Yeah, and he got back in, yes. So that was after being challenged by his solicitor.
Right.
Now, at no stage since that has a reduction in 2016, over a two-year period, has anyone from the New South Wales Rural Fire Service or even the local district office been in touch with Oliver to check on his well-being. And to date, he's had zero support from the RFS.
Well,
and he does, as we've said, have those $100,000 of legal bills.
Okay.
You know.
Now, I got to tell you, we asked... yesterday, I asked the RFS media for someone to come on to give it this thing some balance. We have received a communication from the RFS.
The following statement can be attributed by the New South Wales Fire Service spokesman. They said Oliver was charged by the New South Wales Police for offences as presented in court. Oliver appealed and the service respects the decision of court. The matter was an ex gratia legal assistance in this matter for Oliver to communicate directly with the service. End of statement. So they're not saying too much at all. Next week we've actually got Mark Williams, who's the local superintendent here. We've got Mark coming on the show, so we'll ask Mark more about these questions, about what he might know, and also to ask Mark about what's happening in the local fireys and what's happening over the holiday season.
Mm. Now, Mick, you posted a safety bulletin on the Volunteer Firefighters Association website called New South Wales RFS Volunteers at Risk of Prosecution Without Support or Assistance. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
No, I certainly can. And this ties into this case, Oliver's case, where when you go through the transcripts, you can easily see that this should have been handled so much differently. It had not become a police matter, as they suggested in their response to you. It could have been, in fact, any reasonable person, even if that person, Oliver, was being a bit reckless, even if that was the case, would have sorted it out in-house. And that's the feedback we're getting from many people that look at this. And we posted the safety bulletin to inform all volunteers that they could easily be faced with a similar situation to that of Oliver. We added the statement, why would anyone choose to give up their time with the local knowledge that they could find themselves in a similar situation? And we're seeing a trend with active volunteer numbers declining, contrary to the annual report figures. People are walking away, and you can see why. We don't want to see the future of this volunteer-based service destroyed, and we're pushing hard to change the culture at the top so we can attract more rural people, get more rural influence. And that sort of ties into, if any one of us had a situation where even if someone was speeding like that or which we believe is impossible, but even being a little bit reckless, you'd pull them aside and clip them across the ears and tell them to pull their head in. You wouldn't let it go all the way to the point where it's costing someone $100,000. That's just totally irresponsible, and it could have been intervened, so we're pushing to get this to get a little bit more common sense and rural input into the Rural Fire Service, get them the hell out of Sydney. After all, it is a Rural Fire Service, because I just see this culture is toxic at this stage. I believe it's time that the state government reviews the way firefighters work. You know, on the back of the Tathra turf wars, and we've got many other of these sort of similar claims of unhappy volunteers, we need to think about how is the state best going to protect communities and maintain some harmony amongst all of those, because at the end of the day, all firefighters are important to the state, regardless of whether you're permanent, you're part-time or you're volunteer. And perhaps it's a good time to revisit the single fire service model, you know, so that we can get rid of boundaries altogether, as was suggested post-Tathra. You know, create permanent jobs for firefighters in the greater Sydney area, Wollongong, Newcastle, other major regional centres, and rebuild the retained firefighter and volunteer firefighting cultures with better support and career pathing for those who want it. And that's key to this single fire service model. You know, you think about it, there's lots of volunteers that would love to become make it their full-time job, and
sure,
a single service could help build that type of culture and opportunity.
All right. Mick, thank you for talking to us this morning again. I thank you for your time.
No worries. And look, I'll leave by saying this. You know, remember that we did have an upper house inquiry into emergency service agencies, and it was reported through that in the report 36 from the upper house, July 2018, that bullying in the New South Wales Rural Fire Service is still fairly high, 27%. That's a government report, so they know there's problems. And if you want me to come and talk with you guys, even with or alongside a Rural Fire Service representative, I'd be more than happy to do that.
All right.
No
good
worries.
On you, Mick.
No worries.
Okay,
you have a
thank
great
you.
Day, and thank you very much for this opportunity.
All right. Thank you. Mick Holton there. It's 12 to 11. Yes, yesterday I did invite the RFS through the RFS media to also come on. In fact, I even sent them a list of questions that I knew may be of interest, but unfortunately they were unable to send anyone, but they did send down that statement which we read. And if you can you just read it one more time?
It'll take me a minute to find it.
It'll take him a minute to find it, but we did, as I say, invite the
contact
RFS.
Contact them, yep.
Because it's such an important issue.
Absolutely.
So the following statement can be attributed by the New South Wales Rural Fire Service spokesman. It said that Oliver was charged by the New South Wales Police for offences as presented in court. Oliver appeared and the service respects the decision of the court. The matter was ex gratia. Legal assistance is a matter for Oliver to communicate directly with the service, end of statement. So now, like I said, we've got Mark Williams on next week, and Mark probably doesn't know too much about this anyway, but Mark's all about finding out what's happening locally over Christmas with RFS and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, we'll you keep on sending them emails, Barry, to head office, and see if they come back to us with anything else. So
all right, it's 10 to 11.
You're listening to Shoalhaven CBF.